Okay, who's got a Bible that I like? It's got a Blaine, you have a Bible with you?
Yep.
You're a good reader. Look up Luke 7.
Which version do you want?
I don't care.
Clear Word.
No, I don't like Clear Word. That's terrible. Luke 17, verse 11 on, and just hold it, if you would. Luke 17, verse 11. Lesson this morning is on the kingdom of God. Certainly a phrase that we've heard a lot. Luke certainly liked it. He uses it about 40 times. Mark used it about 16 times. Yeah, Blaine's going to read it for us.
Ready?
No. Down the road. Morning. How are you doing? You in a good mood today?
Yes.
Good. Well, that's worth a dollar.
Oh, no. I don't have visitors today.
Pardon me?
I don't have visitors today.
No visitors.
No visitors. No, I don't think we do. No. Kingdom of God, what does that mean to you when you hear that phrase?
Heaven.
Yes.
Heaven.
Heaven. Okay.
Huh?
Kingdom of God is heaven. What else? Who else? Anybody else? Kingdom of God, what comes to your mind?
Starts here.
Got heaven, God starts here. Anybody else? Any input? Any feelings? How many of you got excited when you opened up the lesson and saw the kingdom of God?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
How come?
Part where it says, Jesus says the kingdom of God comes not with observation because it's in you. And that I've been specifically praying for my children and I know for God to come inside of them and work in their hearts.
Good. Well,
talking about that mysterious, invisible, inward working.
Okay, that's a very, very relevant. Anybody else just said, wow. Well, going to look at it a little different this morning. And I'm going to start with something that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God, nor the lesson, but it's something I like. So what does the teacher get to teach on?
What he
likes. That's fair enough, isn't it? I did mention the kingdom of God. That's in the lesson. I've done my duty. So, all right, let's start with a story that begins in chapter 17 of Luke. Verse 11. We're going to go through this story a little slow. Go ahead, Blaine.
And it came to pass, as they were on their way to Jerusalem, that he was passing along the borders of Samaria and Galilee.
Okay, let's hold on for a second. Always have to put this into the context of what is going on. Jesus is making his final journey to Jerusalem. He's passing through Galilee, Samaria, and what's going to happen to Jesus when he gets to Jerusalem? What's going to happen to him on his final journey to Jerusalem? Pardon? Pardon? He's going to die. Does Jesus know this? Absolutely. What is the disciples' context of Jesus going to Jerusalem? What do you think, what is in their thinking, in their hearts?
To make him a king.
Okay. They're looking to be made a king. Now, you got to remember, this is after being with Jesus for 3 years. Sometimes we work with people. We witness with people, we talk to people, and we get discouraged because they don't seem to be making money. Did y'all have a good week?
Yes, I did too.
Well, is that worth a dollar?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Always give them to the ladies. Yeah, that's good. Okay. So the disciples are looking for something totally different. We work with people and they don't seem to be moving fast enough. They don't seem to be grasping the thoughts or the theology or the change of life that we're looking for. So what lesson do we get with the disciples being with Jesus for 3 years? How can we apply that to our situation?
We are here to introduce Jesus to the people. We don't convert them. We don't change them. That's the job of Holy Spirit. My job is to say, this is Jesus. Allow this guy or this man or whatever, some people think he's prophet, some whatever, you know. That's our job. The job converting, it's not our business. That's God's business.
Okay. All right. I like that answer. Too many times, if we were with Jesus, or we were Jesus, how we would have handled it for 3 years? Wouldn't we have had the tendency to say, what in the world is wrong with you? What kind of idiot are you? You know, I'm a sales trainer, so every once in a while I feel like saying, what kind of idiot are you? We've gone over and over this, and you're still asking the same dumb questions. Jesus did not do that.
Most of us lived longer than he did. He only lived till he was, we said, 32 years old.
Mm-hmm. And he did not correct. He did not preach to them. He did not sit down and say, what's wrong? He accepted them where they were and kept witnessing. There's an old saying. It took me a long time to understand it. When the student is ready, the teacher can teach.
Yeah.
And we sometimes in our witnessing forget that. It's not when we're ready. You're an educator. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't have a student's attention, you don't know what's going on, you're not teaching anything. So sometimes you have to start back. So here's Jesus with his disciples. He's coming to Calvary. They're concerned about what in the kingdom is going to be my position. And by the way, sometimes if we're not careful, that's kind of our attitude. Well, what we're going to do in heaven? What's going to be up there? We've got to address that. Okay, so Jesus is coming along. He's in Samaria, Galilee area. What does he come upon, Blaine?
As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off.
Okay, let's stop there for a minute. Jesus is going into a village. They stood afar off. According to the Jewish law, if you were a leper, you could not get within 50 yards of any normal person. You had to stay 50 yards away. You had to have some kind of veil. You had to cry out unclean. And so here we have 10 lepers standing afar as Jesus with his disciples walks by. Now, do you think all of these lepers were Jews? Probably not. We know at least one was a Samaritan. Because we're going to come to that in just a second. How did Jews feel about Samaritans, and how did Samaritans feel about Jews?
Cats and dogs.
Pardon?
Cats and dogs.
Hated each other. It's kind of interesting if you ever watch movies or if you see in real life on some of these history programs or National Geographic, when they show floods, you'll see animals that normally would tear each other apart, and because there's flooding and there's a little dry land, you see the skunks and the possums and the cats and the dogs and what other animals that are natural enemies of each other all together. Why?
Survival.
Fighting for survival. There's an old saying in politics, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. If you don't think that's correct, go back and look at World War II when one of our greatest allies was who?
Russia.
And how long did that last? Less than a year. The United States knew what Russia was up to. Russia knew what the United States was up to. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so we hear we have Jews and Samaritans, all spiritual Christians, good people, and they wouldn't even go near each other. But let disaster come in their lives. Let them have the worst disease a person could have, leprosy, and all of a sudden they mingle together. How ironic. When you think it would be the other way around. So Jesus comes along, there's 10 lepers, at least one of them a Samaritan, we know that. We know there's a Jew because of the next statement, but instead of spiritually being brothers and sisters, the only thing that made them brothers was absolute sin, uncleanliness, bottom life. And then all of a sudden, they cling together. What a pity that that happens in this world. The world we're in. Keep going, Blaine.
And they lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priest.
Okay, let's stop there. How come everywhere that Jesus went, all people were not healed? Remember the woman in the crowd that had the issue of blood? I mean, here's Jesus jostling in a big crowd. You know there were people sick. There were people with infirmities. There were people hurting. There were people. And all of a sudden, some woman who just almost blindly says, if I just reach out and touch his hem, and she's healed. Why wasn't other people healed?
They didn't want to be healed.
Who said that? Well, that's an interesting concept. What do you mean?
Well, if you... There's a couple of ways this happens. One, they don't know they're sick.
Okay.
One, they don't admit they're sick.
Okay.
In either case, they're not going to ask for help.
Okay. Yeah. That's exactly right. If you don't need your need, don't know your need, have a need, it's unfair that Jesus comes along and provides healing, because what lesson does that teach you?
Nothing.
Nothing is exactly right. Just says if you get in trouble, somebody will take care of you. It's like relatives. Bail them out, you bail them out, you bail them out, and you bail them out. What do they think? Going to bail them out again? No lessons learned. Wherever Jesus went, he wanted to provide healing. But before God can work, the soul must cry out. And we miss that in our witnessing. Before God can work, the Spirit can work, the soul must cry out. Too often, we want to walk around and say, you know, you think you're pretty good, but do you know you're sick? Do you go out on the streets and just walk around and say, as a physician, you know, you look sick, why don't you come and see me? See, I'd make a remark about lawyers, but we have one of the finest lawyers here in the Metroplex, so I won't say anything about that one. You see? No, you gotta wait. Don't you understand how this must have really hurt Jesus? But here's 10 lepers, at least 50 yards apart, a Samaritan and Jews, low class, and they cry out what? Unclean, but what did they cry out to Jesus?
Have mercy.
Do something. Help me. And that's what we must do in our life. Now, Jesus says something that's kind of interesting. They cry out, have mercy. What did he say? Did he heal them right there?
No.
No. Why is that important? I mean, he could have. He tells them to do what? And what's the Jewish law, by the way? Pardon? Yeah, and what's the priest's attitude towards these lepers? Stay away from me. Priest, very judgmental. God forbid that somebody would say, well, go show yourself to a pastor. Priests were judgmental. They was not looking for healing. They were looking for judgment. But yet Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Are they healed as of now?
No.
No. But then what do they do? What do we do sometimes? We sit there and say, why? We sit here sometimes saying, you got to be kidding me. Really? But when you want healing, you make that move. Now, what happened to them as they started moving to go see the priest? Read it, Blaine.
And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed.
Do you see how this works? So many times in our relationship with God, we want all of the ducks in a row. Then we will make our move. Oh, I don't want to do that, Lord. You know the old story, heard, I don't know if it's true or not. Probably is true. You know the old guy that said, I want to be a great missionary for you, Lord. Send me anywhere in the world but Africa. And where does he get called? To Africa. You see, can't do that. Gretchen Peters has a great song. Says about God is kind of like Monty Hall. You know, we're playing the game of what's behind door one, two, or three. You know, and we say to God, well, God, I really don't like what's behind door two. Show me what's behind door three. The lepers. And we're going to find out what kind of guys these are in the next two sentences. The lepers acted, and as soon as they moved, they become cleansed. Now, here's the part of the story that I used to have to dwell on because it was a problem in my own life. Overcoming pride, which was my last sin, and being very humble, which is my spiritual gift of humility, I overcame this problem. But I'm telling you, I had to work on it. They're cleansed. Greatest day in their life. Most happiest moment. They've met God. And He's cleansed them. And they're running, they're leaping, they're singing, jumping up and down. High-fiving each other. Blaine, what happens?
And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice glorifying God. And he fell upon him.
Okay, let's stop there. That's the part that I used to have to work on. Because what is the human tendency? What else is the human tendency? You heal 10. One of them says, wow, whoa, I guess I better go back and thank the guy. What's the human tendency to do with the other 9?
Body, they've been healed, wondering, you know, is the priest going to recognize that? And am I really going to be healed? I won't be healed until the priest says I'm healed, even if right now I think I look like I'm healed.
And that's why legalism is a killer. If that's true, and that's certainly very valid, it's why legalism is a killer. If she's correct, and I have no idea, I don't know what went through their mind. That's very plausible. If that's correct, and that's all we're interested in, is running and getting out our checklist, I mean, I think I would have sense enough that if I had leprosy and I was clean, to figure out I'm clean. But if that's true, that's where legalism comes. Because what did the 9 miss? What did they miss?
Praising God.
Praising God and being thankful to God and sitting at the feet of God. But they thought more of the legalistic things they had to do, and they didn't even know or even care enough to thank God. And that's the height of legalism with the Pharisees, who walked among God, walked among them, and they were so caught up in their doctrines and the legalism that they crucified the very one that they've been looking for. That's the danger of legalism.
But Christ knew this because He told them to go to the high priest, to the priest.
Yeah, but that's unfair.
He knew how the Jewish people
were. Yeah, that's the way God works.
He knew, and he
but it's so unfair. I'm telling you. It's so unfair.
When they went there, everybody knew that the miracle was
coming. I know, but that's unfair because one of the 9 should have got leprosy again. Ungrateful. Man, it would have been in my book many years ago, tit for tat. Man, it would have been nice if one of them had got leprosy. Ungrateful. Wasn't because they had to see the priest, not that they lived by the law. They were ungrateful. And it certainly would have been just if you live in a tit-for-tat world that one of them would have got leprosy. And Jesus would have said, now you learn. Isn't that our nature?
That's not His.
Oh, thank God it's not His. But isn't that our nature?
The nature He wants us to get rid of and give up.
Our nature is... We almost had them. Lloyd, you come back from the old evangelistic days. Well, we come in, we have a 3-week revival. Meant well, didn't we, Lloyd? Meant well. Meant all these things. They didn't accept the Sabbath. They still ate pork. Had a little we almost had them. And then something would happen down the road and we would say, that's what happens. But thank God that God is not like that. Because we only have to look in our lives to see when we came to crossroads, we came to problems, we came to what we thought were obstacles we could not overcome, and God clears the way and gets through, and then nothing changes. We forget to go back and say, "Thank you, God. I want to know more about you." By the way, the leper that came back was what? Huh? A Samaritan. The dirtiest low dog the Jewish people had. That's why this story is so important. The lowest of the low of the lepers came back.
Not only that, how much harder would it have been for the Samaritan to accept that he needed to go see a priest, and yet he went straight away to go?
Absolutely. I would think, not knowing everybody's story, but if we took time, which we won't, and we grafted our spiritual journey, I would say that there were some times, well, I'll speak for myself, I've been there, that most of us have been down at towards the low. And there comes Jesus. No sermon. What a wonderful time with the 10 lepers to preach a sermon on inclusiveness. I mean, he just missed an opportunity. Now, brothers and sisters, you little Jews and you little dumb Samaritans, in sin and leprosy, you all cling together. Now, if you promise that you'll overcome your prejudices and how much you hate each other and understand that love is for brother and a sister, brothers and brothers, if you'll promise to do that, I will heal all of you. What a wonderful opportunity. God doesn't buy us. God doesn't buy us. He doesn't force us. He loves us so much. You know, when I was young, and I know y'all will find this hard to believe, but in my life, in my dating life, you won't believe this, but there were two or three women that broke up with me.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little hot. Well, I hadn't overcome pride back then. I think he would, you know, and they would read me this little, you know, thing that says that if you let love escape and it's meant to be, it will come back to you. Man, whoever came up with that was a sadist. Yes?
I have always said all my life, that if you don't fall in love at least 3 times before you get married, your marriage may never last.
Okay. All right.
I said that when I was in college.
Well, I could have used you. You see? But love is a gift. It's a character. And there were no strings with these lepers. And yet in our witnessing, we want to come along and put strings, accept God and do this. If you love God, you'll do this. Next verse.
And he fell upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan.
Now, does Luke have a little dramatic ending? You know, he didn't start this out with he's a Samaritan. He ends it up. Now remember, this is written for the Gentiles. And what the Gentiles know, Samaritans hate Jews, Jews hate Samaritans. Okay.
And Jesus answering said, "Were not the 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there none found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger?" And he said unto him, "Arise, and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole."
Okay. Now, Jesus is using this as a teaching tool. Because he turns to the crowd. And like all good teachers, has a little dramatic to him, and he says, kind of confused here, wasn't there 10? And only one came back? And then he says to the one that came back, "Your faith has made you whole." By the way, whatever faith the other 9 had made them whole. Of leprosy. I believe the Samaritan's heart was touched. Yes?
I guess in light of business that you're in, the sales process, you can't just walk up to a door and say, "Hey, I'm here to sell you something."
No. Nope.
There's a process that you have to go through. And I think in this story, the lepers had heard all the events that had been taking place. They had seen the results. They hadn't been preached to by an evangelist or anything else. But they had heard the stories and said there's got to be some truth in that. Because when they asked God to be merciful to them and to heal them, they didn't get a lecture. I think God's favorite word came out. Go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because of what they already believe, as we find in another story here, yep, your faith has made you whole.
Yep.
That they left. They didn't have to have a reason or anything else. They yep. knew.
They exactly right. They did not have to have a full understanding of what is going on. Jesus meets us where we're at. He does not lecture us and bring us up to where he's at. Meets us where we're at. Now, there are people watching all of this. So what's the next verse? Because now we're coming to the kingdom of God.
And being asked by the Pharisees, "When the kingdom of God cometh," he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo, here,' or 'There,' for lo, the kingdom of God..."
Okay, stop there. Here's these Pharisees, religious leaders of the church. You got your general conference, well, not general conference president, because of Sanhedrin, but you got your elders, got your people, all of them sit around, they've seen this. So then they say, "Well, when is the kingdom of God coming?" Do we ask that question as a church and denomination personally? What do we ask? What do we preach? What do we look for? Pardon? Second coming. Been looking at it for ages. Ages being 160 years. And what are we always trying to figure out? Pardon? When he's going to come. And what do we constantly search and what do we constantly use and what we constantly look for?
The signs.
The signs.
Yeah. It's in our church name. Seventh-day Adventist.
There's nothing wrong with the second coming of Christ. But we have made it, over the years, we've tried to fit it in. French General Berthier in the early 1900s. He's looking over the plains of Megiddo. And he says, this is a perfect battlefield to have Armageddon. And we all said in the 1900s, I wasn't around. Early 1900s. Well, this getting close. These are the signs. Here's where Armageddon could be fought. World War I, what happens? This is it. World War II, this is definitely it. Well, we got an atomic. We keep looking for the signs. We preach the signs. We have people within our denomination that think they know the signs. They know the time. Because we keep looking and we want to preach the kingdom of God. We as Adventists today do not preach the second coming as we used. Right, Lloyd? Been around a long time, just like me. We do not preach the second coming as fervently as we used to. Why? Why?
Possibly of adrenaline burnout.
We're embarrassed.
Yeah.
You can only go woof, woof. Woof, see? Because we want to stir people up that Christ is coming soon. I remember, you know, when we had all the trouble in the 60s and go to the country. Everybody was going to go to the country except me. I had to find somebody that knew how to garden. So, you know, but it was time to go because the times were dealing. Then they come across with credit cards. You know, used to be that no man can buy and sell. Well, how could that be? Now we know they just hit a button and you can't do anything. Has nothing to do with the second coming of Christ. And so that's what the Pharisees were saying. Now, what is this kingdom of God? That's all they got out of this experience. What is this kingdom of God? Now read it again, starting with the Pharisees. When they asked the question.
And being asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God cometh, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation.
Now, what part of that do we not really kind of put into our deal? You know, when our good friends, the Catholics, were very powerful in the 1929 and all of that things happened. Oh, that's it, that's it, that's it. The Catholic Church, what is the major religion in Ireland? Catholicism. They came out strong against gay marriage. What happened at the polls? Overwhelmingly voted for. Catholic Church is at the weakest it's been in centuries. Now, it doesn't mean it can rebound. I don't know that. What prominent religion now is in the news? So, do we go back and rewrite all our predictions now and take out Catholicism and put in, you see? Jesus says, don't go by observations. Continue.
For lo, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it.
Wow, okay, let's just stop there. Where is the kingdom of God? Where?
Within
our
heart. Within you. In our evangelism, at least back in the late 80s, early 90s, focuses kind of fear driven. Look at all these bad things happening. Get ready, but ultimately, it's when the kingdom is ripe in our hearts, when we learn to love and...
Very good. Appreciate that. That's absolutely correct. Listen, I was one of them. They preached this. Meant well. We all meant well. But Jesus never scared one human being into a relationship with you.
Right.
You sit there with your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, and you tell them exactly what's going to happen, and they look at you in the eye and do what? Just go do the opposite. You know, it's like we have a granddaughter, keep telling Sue, tell her the sun rises in the west. And she'll figure out that it rises in the east, see? Whatever you tell her, she's going to do the opposite. Good friend of mine, Charles knows him, Ross knows him, Jim Quinn, 3ABN up now, JD, but Jim and I have been best friends 52 years. Somebody asked me one time, how good of friends are you? And I said, well, we've been business partners in about 8 businesses, and we still talk to each other. That's pretty good, isn't it, Mill? Mill worked for us at one time. He used to say, many, many years ago, this is good Adventist thinking. Keep up with the signs. And when the signs get close that God is coming, call me. And you can't make that one up. Call me. And then I'm going to start looking at religion again. Do you understand? That's our thinking. No wonder God didn't give us the time. First of all, Adventists, most of them would be late. If there's not a potluck going along with it, they'll be later. The worst thing that God could do is to tell you when. God is not in heaven. Per se. The New Testament is very, very clear that the sanctuary that God dwells in is in our heart. For us that have a relationship with Him, the kingdom of God is already here. What a wonderful blessing. Doesn't mean we understand it all. Doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. But we have that peace that no matter what happens, we are a child of God. We have a saving relationship. And God's greatest desire is that we spend eternity with Him. And so Jesus said to the Pharisees, don't look for the signs. Don't look for one is taken and one is left. One goes, one stays. All of these signs. The kingdom of God is here. Two ways. One, God is with our lives. Two, He dwells in our heart. Our heart is His sanctuary. When people that are hurting have problems, that's the message they need to hear. Is that God can come into your life, dwell in your heart. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God carried a billfold, your photograph would be in it. Every spring He gives you beautiful flowers for you to enjoy. Every morning He gives you a beautiful sunrise. And every evening He gives you a beautiful sunset. God could live anywhere in the universe that He wanted to. But He has chosen to live in your heart. Don't you get the picture that God is crazy about you? God is crazy about you. My Father. Wow. Just to think. that anywhere in the universe you could be. And you chose to live in our hearts. You have come knocking on every one of our doors, pleading and hoping that we'll open the door and invite you in. And you want to stay in our heart for eternity. Not just on this earth, but be part of our lives and we be part of yours for eternity. No wonder you said to anyone who will listen, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is in you. Because we can claim that peace, that love, that caring. That what makes you a fantastic God. Help us to share the message. Help us to come across 10 people. And no matter what the response is, to share the message. If you want to be clean, run to Jesus. It's that simple. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for this class. Give us a good week is our prayer. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.